morning, everybody. Glad to see everybody here. We're just missing a couple due to not feeling well.
It's on.
All right. We're glad to see everybody here. We also know that people are watching on the internet, and they are responding to that. And so we ask everybody, if you have any questions about what we have to say, to let us know. If you're watching on Facebook, just put a question down in the comments section and we'll respond to that. Our job is to give answers for the hope within us. And so we feel confident we can answer your questions, and we will use the Bible to as our guide of authority. And so we're glad people are watching on the internet. We're glad our members are here. And at the beginning of this year, I said one of the themes that I was going to be concentrating upon is the choices we have to make. And so we're going to talk this morning about overcoming and defeating temptations. Now, yes, it is possible, and it's always our choice to make. I think one problem a lot of people have is when they realize they gave in to the temptation, they start having self-doubt. They start having that defeatist mindset in their mind, saying, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do what God wants me to do? And so we're going to address that. And it, like I said, it's still our choice. Our choice of what we're going to do. Now, unfortunately, it has become common practice to give in to almost every temptation that Satan is capable of throwing at mankind. People of the world, of course, they're already lost, and they don't have a problem jumping into every temptation. And the idea of self-restraint is not very common among those who are what we call unbelievers, non-believers. And so that's true. And too many people have decided that giving in to temptation is not very significant. It's no big deal. In fact, look at it. Let's face it, everybody's doing it. Or so they want us to think. Everybody is doing it. And, I mean, when you watch the movies and when you watch TV, you think everybody in this world is cursing. Everybody is having romantic affairs and sexual intercourse in every situation, mistreating people. Everybody's doing it, so that's just the normal. Folks, that is not the normal. That is evil. It's evil up there, and they're promoting it. And so that is not what God wants from us. God wants us to live a particular way. And the way that we live is something that should guide other people towards the truth. As Jesus said, we're supposed to let our light shine. And if we don't let our light shine, we're not going to help anybody get to heaven. So that's very important for us to be a good example to others, to live a Christian life, to live a life that is pleasing to God, and that gives us the foundation whereby we can teach others about this. It doesn't do any good to tell others you need to obey the gospel when you're living worldly. That's just kind of just doesn't work at all. See, God wants us to stand and fight against the wiles of the devil, and has provided everything we need to be successful. And where do we find it? We find it in the pages of His Word, in the Bible. Seeing that His divine mercy has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through Him, through Christ. I mean, that's how it comes about. And so we just can consider a few suggestions to help the task of defeating temptations. And so what do I need to do to defeat these temptations? First thing we probably ought to do, which a lot of people don't think of, is that we are spiritual in nature. Our soul is spiritual. Most people just think from a human concept, a temporal concept, way of this world, I'm a human being, and that settles it. I'm a human being, so my nature is to sin all the time. And that's how some people look at it. But if we become a Christian, We need to be spiritual in nature, and our thoughts need to be focused on spiritual thoughts and not the things of this world. See, 1 John chapter 2 tells that the things of this world are going to pass away, and that includes the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They're all going to pass away, but whoever does the will of the Lord abides forever. That's verses 13 through 15. Or 16 in 1 John chapter 2. See, the Apostle Paul wrote that we are to put off the old man of sin and raise up a new man that will be a spiritual man. We won't take time to read this, but in the first few verses, he's talking about the fact that we're baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to raise up and walk in newness of life. Henceforth, we are no longer to serve sin. We're no longer supposed to stay in sin. We put that off. It's like we take the old self and crucify it and then put on the new man. Colossians chapter 3 tells us the same thing. You put off the old man with all of its lust, all of its passions, all of its greed, all of its pride, and you put on a new nature. A nature that God wants us to live. And so this means that we must make the choice to not allow the physical carnal side to have more influence over our actions than our spiritual side. We've got to control ourselves. And that's something that apparently a lot of people really don't want to do. They just want to let go. And when that happens, they are no different than the animals in this world. You know, the unreasoning animals that 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about and Jude talks about, that's what they're like. I mean, they just do. I mean, look at dogs. If there's a dog in heat, there's going to be male dogs around ready to take advantage of that. And they don't think about it. They don't think, well, God doesn't like this or this is wrong or anything. They just do it. And that's the way a lot of people are now. I mean, they just do it, and they don't think about it as being something that's carnal. Hey, this is just natural, and that's what they say. But we've got to think spiritually on this. See, there's a constant battle that will rage between the two, but we must see to it that a spiritual side is successful. You know, Paul talked about this, Romans chapter 7, verse 15, and through the rest of that chapter, and in the first 11 verses of chapter 8, Paul says, you know what? My body is carnal. My body wants to do this, but my mind says I shouldn't be doing this. And so there's a war taking place. In Galatians 5, 16, 7, the flesh is at odds with the spirit. There's a battle taking place. And folks, this battle takes place every single day. And we have to choose, am I going to give in to the sin, or am I going to choose to do what God wants me to do? That is a choice we have to make every day, in every situation. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we have choices to make. Now, are we going to be thinking temporal and worldly and all those things? Or are we going to be thinking spiritual as often as we can? The more often we think spiritual, the better track we're going to be on. See, it's possible for us to be successful, but we must be dedicated to our spiritual life. Rather than being focused on worldliness and sinful pleasures that distract us. And that's what it all comes down to. You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By saying what he said, it means make this the number one priority of your life. Seek heaven. Seek to go to heaven. And he tells us how to get to heaven in the pages of his book. And learn the righteousness of God, what God considers righteous, and do those things. The next point is we must remember that God will provide a way of escape. So we don't have to give in. I mean, one of the greatest promises that God has made to us is that he will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear, and that he will always provide a way of escape. And so we read that 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 primarily. And so sometimes we may feel like there's no other option but to give in to temptation. Well, there's no other option. Well, there's several factors to consider. Well, where are you? I mean, let's face it. If you have a problem with drinking and you're sitting in a bar with all your buddies trying not to drink, you're in the wrong place. I mean, it's just that simple. And so, I mean, you're hanging around your friends and they're talking about doing all sorts of things and things, you know, well, God doesn't want me to do stuff like that. You're in the wrong place. And so, we almost feel trapped. Well, if I walk away, they're going to start making fun of me or something like that. Well, so be it. Let them make fun of you. I mean, but don't let them influence you to do evil. And we can gain confidence and courage from this passage, which assures that there will always be another option. There is always a way out. And you don't have to sin. And so, if it comes down to it, when you sin, guess what? That's on you. It's because you have made the choice to sin. And we don't want that to happen. So that's why we need to think spiritual thoughts. Perhaps we can look back on times that we've stumbled on Satan's temptations and see, maybe in hindsight, the way that had been available to us and escape from the temptation the next time. Yeah, all of us can figure that out. You know what? I could have said no. I mean, sometimes it's just that simple. I could have just said no. I'm not going to do it. But guess what? We did it anyway. And then we feel bad about it. We feel guilty about it. And then we need to ask for forgiveness. But sometimes if we'll think back, well, I was in the wrong place at that time. That's all it comes down to. See, we can use these memories to help us in the future. We're supposed to learn from the things of the past and apply these things. And we can be assured that God has provided help if we will only look for it. He's told us what we need to know. He's given it to us in the pages of His Bible. He's told us, thou shalt not do certain things. And if we do it, God considers that sin. And so, He has provided us the help that we need. He's given us the information we need. It's in the pages of His Bible. And the only question we come up with is why more people don't read their Bibles. That's what it comes down to. They don't read their Bibles. And this should be one of the most encouraging passages that a Christian can consider. That there's nothing so powerful that will overwhelm me that forces me to sin. Nothing in this world will force me to sin. But where does that force come? It comes from yourself. And that's the only force in this world that can force you to sin is yourself. And we'll read that later. See, if you're facing temptation, you can know that God knows that you can withstand it. Whatever it is, you have the ability. Like I say, it might be just as simple as saying the word no. It might be as simple as saying, I'm in the wrong place. I need to get out of here and leave. I mean, so whatever that is, God knows you can withstand any and every temptation that is out there. And if that is not enough to encourage you to faithfulness, then what is? We must know and understand the consequences of failure. When we give in, we must know the consequences. A lot of people don't think about the consequences. Many people have just discounted the fact that there's going to be an afterlife, that there's going to be a judgment, that we're going to stand before God and give an account of our actions and then sent off to either a reward or to condemnation. And so we're going to have to know there's consequences of the choices we make. We realize that in our everyday lives. We make a choice. Well, there's going to be a consequence to it. And it might be pleasant, it might be unpleasant. But there's always a consequence to the choices we make. And James tells us a pattern that is used by Satan to entrap us as mankind. See, in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. All right, let's go back to verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Those words ought to stick in your mind. God never puts a temptation in front of you. I mean, we sometimes read where God tested the people, but he didn't really tempt them. He tested them. He gave them the manna. He told them how to gather it and how to prepare it. And when people didn't do what he had told them to do, it went rotten. And it was not good. So he said, are you going to be willing to keep my commandments? So sometimes the commands of God were testing these people to see if they would fit. And so anyway, God does not tempt anyone. All right, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. All right, now let that sink in. We're tempted when we're enticed by our own lust. That means we can't blame anybody. We can't blame Satan. We can't blame society. We can't blame the people we're with. We can't blame anybody. It's on us. And then when verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And so there's the pattern that we live in. And Satan uses this to entrap us. See, the end result, if we give in to the temptations or that are thrust upon us, is that we sin, and sin brings forth that death. And the consequence of failing to stand up to temptation is that we become separated from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 tells us that. Our iniquities have separated us between us and God. And so this should be frightening to us if we are rational thinking beings. I mean, being separated from God, we certainly don't want that. We don't want it now, and we certainly don't want it in eternity. See, how can one not be frightened by the consequence of being eternally separated from God? I mean, it's just, I mean, the Bible paints a picture of what hell is going to be like and how horrible it's going to be. Darkness, loneliness, pain, weeping and gnashing of teeth, agony. I mean, and the whole point is there's no hope out of that. And it's going to be void of God. You cannot cry out, my God, help me. You won't be able to do that. So this would be the punishment for those who physically die while spiritually separated from God. It's what we call the spiritual death, or as Revelation says, the second death. And it's not going to be a soul sleep like some people want to say, well, we're just going to fade off into annihilation either. More and more, that concept of annihilation is being promoted even by preachers in the Church of Christ. They like that idea. I mean, in other words, if you're not going to be going through anything, what's the point in serving God in the first place? That's what it comes down to. I mean, there's no point in serving God. There's no point in trying to be a goody two-shoes. There's no point in trying to live a good moral life, because it's all going to be over. And it doesn't matter. So, as they say, even in the scriptures, live. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But no, there's an existence beyond the grave that we have to be aware of. See, this realization should cause us to want to be faithful to God and encourage us to defeat the temptation that Satan hurls our direction. And Satan doesn't give up. Remember that. Satan does not give up. So we have to be ready to take him on. Now, you think about that. Man, take on Satan. Wow, how powerful a creature that must be. I mean, it's nothing like David going up against the giant Goliath. I mean, David had a lot of courage there, but Satan's bigger than that. Or is he? Satan only has the power that you give him. And that's what we need to learn. He only has the power that you give him. And so we need to be prepared to confront Satan when he shows up on our doorstep. Now, he's not going to be walking up to you with the letters across his back, S-A-T-A-N. He's not going to be wearing one of those jerseys, one of those alphabet jerseys. No. He's not going to have it pasted on his chest or a little name tag. Hi, I'm Satan. No, that's not going to be there. But yet, Satan shows up in many forms. Sometimes, it can be in the form of the person sitting right next to you. Sometimes, it's the people in your work environment or your school environment or things like that. See, Jesus was being tempted by Satan, answered him by quoting Scripture. Here's what the Scripture says. And how can you do that if you don't know what's in the Scriptures? That's why it's important to study the Scriptures and learn the Scriptures. See, Jesus said, it is written. I mean, that's a powerful statement, a powerful defense against any and every temptation that can affect man. And so we must be prepared to confront Satan when he brings the temptations that pique our desires. He's going to constantly be doing that. Why? Because he knows what our weaknesses are. We have weaknesses. Sometimes we try and let the rest of the world know, I don't have any weaknesses. But you know what? Satan knows every one of them. And so when Satan attacks you with enticements of some sort, what works on some people, he knows it's not going to work on you. But he will find your weakness, and he will use that. See, the only way to do that is to spend time in the pages of God's Word. You learn what's in the Scriptures. You learn what God wants us to do. You learn what God says not to do. And you have a ready defense to say, Satan, I'm not going to do that. That's what it comes down to. See, we must study enough to understand what God wants us to do and how to refute the deceit of the devil. See, the Apostle Paul wrote that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Why? Because the devil is using many wiles, he's using many tools and many weapons against us. And most of the weapons he uses against us are in here. They're in here. They're in our mind. And so that's why we have to be aware of what Satan is trying to do. Satan is trying to keep us out of heaven. And if we give in to what Satan wants us to do, then we have a chance of missing out on heaven. So we don't need to take that chance. And so we need to put on the armor of God. God gives it to us. And we need to use that armor and use it properly. See, a part of the armor described as the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God, and we should use that. If we do not know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, we will not survive long in the spiritual battle. Yeah, see, a soldier, when he goes into battle, if he's never held a sword when he goes into battle, guess what? He's probably not going to survive that battle. I mean, they had to go through drills and exercises. I mean, even our military, they go through boot camp and they learn things. They learn fighting skills. Why? Because your enemy wants to kill you. And if they don't have a gun to shoot you, they're going to use a knife or they're going to use something else to try and kill you. And so you have to be ready for that. And so if we don't know how to use this sword, then it's not going to do us any good. If we haven't studied and used it and trained with it, we're not going to be able to do it. Now, the point is, we can defeat temptation. That's within your ability. That's within my ability. We all can do it. Like I said, it's just as simple as making the choice to not give in. But only if we dedicate ourselves to the spiritual nature that is demanded of us. See, if we're thinking carnally minded, then that's just another escapade we can go through and whoopee, get it over with. But no, we're demanded to have a spiritual nature among us. And we must make the decision that our spiritual well-being is what is important, forsaking the physical nature of worldliness and sin. Yeah, the opportunity is there, just like it is for everybody else, but is it worth it? That's what we ask ourselves. Is it worth it? Is it acceptable to put my soul in jeopardy so that I can have a few moments of pleasure? No, it is not. Because your few moments of pleasure might turn into an hour, might turn into a day, might turn into a week, might turn into a year, and just keep going the rest of your life. We cannot take that chance. We've got to keep it away from us. And like I said, this is a decision that has to be made each and every day. In everything we do, by the things we choose to do, like we turn on the television, what are we going to do? We're going to watch a show. Well, how long do we watch that show? Until the bad language shows up, then we turn it off? Yeah, well, if that's necessary, yes. But anyway, it's a decision we make every day when we go and interact with people. How are we going to behave? Are we going to act like them and behave like them just so we can fit in? Or are we going to take the moral high ground and say, nope, God doesn't want me to do that? Are you brave enough to tell your friends that God doesn't like that and I'm not going to participate? See, it is a decision that must be made each time we are faced with temptation. And like I said, it's our choice. We cannot ever let our guard down, as that will be the time that Satan will attack. Just like any time the defenses are let down, that's where the other team attacks, right? If there's a breakdown in the defense and the offense figures out, hey, there's a gap there all the time, let's utilize that. And then they send the running back that direction. And guess what? He's probably going to go for a touchdown. Yeah. And so we can never let our guard down, because we know he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, 1 Peter 5:8. Talk about him as a roaring lion. See, the thing about this, seeking whom he may devour. The people of this world, he's already got them. He's not looking for them. The only people Satan is seeking to devour are Christians. People who have confessed the name of Jesus Christ. People who have made the commitment to God, says, I'm going to be faithful to you the rest of my life. I am going to serve you the rest of my life. Those are the ones Satan is seeking. He's got all the others. He doesn't need them. See, if we're successful, there will be a great reward. There's going to be a great reward for us. And we talk about that. The glory of heaven. We talk about that quite often. How wonderful heaven must be. We sing about it a lot in our songs. How beautiful heaven must be. And what a wonderful place that will be there. I mean, it's going to be a great reward. But that depends on you. Depends on the choices we make. See, James tells us those who are successful in overcoming temptation have a crown of life waiting them. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, will be received a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. A crown of life is prepared for those who love him. How do we love him? As Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so we have to know what those commandments are. See, every person is going to be tempted in some way. A lot of people who are maybe contemplating, maybe I ought to go to church and get right with God, Satan's temptations will start attacking them immediately. No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. The alarm goes off Sunday morning. Just hit the snooze button a few more times, You don't have to go to church. And then they find some false teacher that, oh, you don't have to go to church to be saved. And Satan is going to do it any way that he can to tempt you any way to keep you out of heaven. And it is up to each individual to determine how he or she will deal with the temptation. See, that's something, nobody can make that decision for you. They might be trying to influence you, but it's still your choice. You don't have to. It's still your choice. So will you overcome and receive a crown of life? I mean, that's what we need to do. He who overcomes. We read that there in Revelation chapter 2. Yes, overcome, receive that crown of life if we are faithful to God. So temptation is there, and we're all going to be faced with it. Everybody's faced with it every single day. And you just have to acknowledge that fact. I mean, we can't ever get to that point where, it never bothers me. Well, you're already in trouble if you think that way. You're already in trouble because your pride has gotten the best of you. And who gave that to you? Don't blame Satan. Blame yourself. So think about that. This lesson's, we always offer the invitation at the end of our sermons. And we encourage those who are watching to pay attention to what we have to say, because it's all important. And so, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, of course, everybody in this room knows what is necessary there, and we've all done it. And our encouragement now is to take this message and apply these things to yourself. If you're not strong, faithful, if you don't study your Bible, get busy and do that. If you haven't been living the way God wants you to live, then get with God and say, I have failed you, let me try, and let me start over. And the beauty of it all is that God allows us to start over every time we pray to Him and ask for forgiveness. We start over. And then, don't just go back repeating your old former ways. Make some changes. Study the Bible more. Learn what God wants you to learn and apply those things to your life. And then, if you've been working at it, if you've been trying, then you'll receive that crown of life. But keep working on it. Don't give in to temptation. All right, so we're going to sing the invitation song. So if you're willing to or subject to the invitation call, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.